Turn in your Bibles today to the book of Philippians, please, chapter number 2. Philippians chapter number 2. I'm curious about something. How many of you last night stayed up to watch the ball drop? Anybody? All righty, now I know who's going to be going to sleep this morning on me. I suppose, you know, I was thinking about a title for my message, this being the first of 2017, the first of the new year, thinking about maybe a title to use. I thought about this, don't drop the ball. I thought, you know, I was going to go that direction. But this morning, let me use this particular approach, this particular idea, just simply this, a New Year's workout program. New Year's workout program. I use that because it seemed like this is the time of year everybody has good ambitions, good intentions, and are planning on, in a brand new year, you know, getting busy, exercise, losing weight, blah, blah, blah. You know what I'm talking about there. So I thought that maybe what we would have here is a thought that I want to use, I want to make a comparison with. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 12, please. Verse number 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Then chapter 3, verse 8. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth into those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal it, even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Let's bow for prayer. Father, this morning, we come to you in prayer rejoicing in your presence, rejoicing in your faithfulness as we look back over 2016. We thank you today for being so good to us. Dear Lord, now today, I pray you would bless the preaching of the Word of God. Help us today to get some instruction, to get some advice from the Word of God to make us better able and more willing to see this coming year as not only a challenge, but as an opportunity to see the Lord bless. Now, God bless today, and we'll thank you, and Father, meet every spiritual need today in this service. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. New Year's workout program. You say, preacher, where are you going to go with that thought? Well, 2017, January 1st, 2017, now what? Now what? We look back over the past year in retrospect. Every single one of us made mistakes. Every single one of us this past year did things we wish we hadn't have done. And there's certainly much that hopefully this last year will teach us, will instruct us as we face the new year. But what about 2017? Do you have any goals, I would ask you? What is it? Maybe to diet? Maybe exercise? What are your New Year's resolutions? Now, what about exercise, let's say? What about this? What about exercise to include a workout? You know, I'm thinking today of boot camp. 1965. Paris Island, South Carolina, boot camp. Now, when I arrived at the recruit training depot, Parris Island, South Carolina, I didn't come there with my own plans. I didn't come there, and when I met that drill instructor for the first time, I didn't tell him, I didn't look at him in the face, and I'd say, drill instructor, if you don't mind, I've got my own program I'm planning on using. You know, I'll just stick with my program, thank you. Could you imagine how that would have gone over? We got any Marines in this service? Anybody been in the Marine Corps? Any military person. Raise your hand if you're prior military. Now, you know how it works, right? In other words, when you go to the training depot, we called it training depot in the case of the Marine Corps, but boot camp basics is what we're talking about. You fall into their program. You fit into their training. You don't bring anything to the table. You're nothing but a raw recruit. You're there because you need what they have to offer you, not what you have to offer them. Now, as we look at 2017, let me approach it this way. Let's consider it by way of illustration from the standpoint of exercise, from the standpoint of recreation, from the standpoint of the physical, to illustrate some spiritual points. I would say with a workout program for 2017, it's important to consider the program. Consider the program. We need to start with where we are and what we need to accomplish. In other words, if a person is thinking about a workout program, we need to look at ourselves. We need to assess where we are. We need to know what we need. For example, maybe we've got X amount of pounds we need to get rid of. In other words, there's a goal. We have to begin with a program. We have to consider ourselves. Now, again, falling back on the illustration I used earlier. You see, when we arrived in boot camp, they didn't immediately put us in a 3-mile run. We had to work up to it. We didn't immediately have to crawl under live machine gun fire. If we had, we'd all been killed. We had to work up to it. Let's take the issue here in the context of this passage. The issue of salvation. Let's look at it. Verse number 12, chapter 2. The Bible says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. I would begin today by simply asking this question. Can you say that salvation is your own? He says, work out your own salvation. Is it something that you own? Is it something that you personally have experienced? Thank God today for people throughout this church service that know the Lord, that know what it is to be saved. But my friend, I'm asking every single one of you, have you owned it? Have you taken ownership by grace? In other words, you can't work out something that you don't own. God's Word says, work out your salvation. If you own it, work it out. I tell you, that ought to be a great commitment for all of us this year that know the Lord. We ought to be involved in this kind of a workout program. We ought to be concerned today of going from point A to point B and making some progress. It ought to be our desire this year to go forward by the grace of God. In other words, the ending of 2016 should find us in better spiritual shape than when we went into the year. Our lives are to be developing as we go. Work out your salvation. If salvation's in you, work it out. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 18, the Bible says, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe I could put it like this. If salvation is in you, work it out. Number two, if you're in grace, then grow in it. Grace. I'm talking now about salvation. If we're in grace, we ought to be growing in grace. God forbid that we'd ever have a stalemate in our spiritual development. God forbid that we would ever just, you know, too many Christians, they mean it when they sing it, hold the fort. Too many are doing just that. I mean, it's wonderful to hold the fort, but I'll tell you, sometimes we need to be doing more than holding the fort. We need to be going forward. There's more to warfare than simply defensive warfare. We need to be going forward. Some people, unfortunately, are not even raw recruits to begin with. Some need to be in grace. Some need to be saved. And some need to have salvation before they can work it out. Some have never, and I'm talking now about us that know the Lord. Some of us have never graduated from recruit training like we should. I think it's noble. And I think it's commendable when you and I set physical goals and determine that we're going to do something. We're going to get healthy. We're going to do some workouts. We're going to, you know, try to eat better. You know, that type of thing. It's amazing how, once we get through the holidays, that's when it always hits us. I got to start eating better. We've all eaten like hogs for the last week, haven't we? Myself and Tent included. I mean, my goodness, we eat everything that's before us. I remember Brother Roscoe when Roscoe was still living. I used to joke with him all the time, Bernie. Family would celebrate Christmas together, and Brother Roscoe, he'd be sitting there, he'd get up and he'd walk over and he'd get a piece of candy. He'd sit back down, then he'd get up and go to another, you know, get something else, and it went on all day. Of course, you know, I was as bad as he was, but I thought about that. But you see, here's what I'm saying today. The best way to begin a new year is to begin it in Christ. The best way to begin a new year is to know today you're saved. It's a tragedy to go out of an old year and come into a new year in the same spiritual rut. It's a good thing to be able to say, on this, the first day of 2017, I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus as I go into a new year. And then as we look at this passage a little bit further, when it comes to a workout program, there's such a thing as collecting our thoughts. Collecting our thoughts. Not only considering the program, but collecting our thoughts. You know, when it comes right down to it, much of it is a mind thing. You have to make up your mind to do something before you'll do it. People can stand over you. People can prod you. People can say you need to do this, you need to do that. But we basically have to make up our minds. It's a mind thing. We need to collect our thoughts. Now, we have to want to exercise. You have to want to. And then you have to accept the advice of instruction. You have to be willing to accept instruction. Now, our instruction manual is the Word of God, of course. We have to be willing to accept the advice. It's quite simple. Here's something to think about. It's quite simple. We collect our thoughts. It's quite simple. We need to accept some advice. We need to be willing to make some changes. It's very obvious. Our program didn't work. It didn't work. The Apostle Paul, who penned this great epistle, and by the way, wrote it when he was in prison. Well, the joy that man had in prison, could you imagine when he was out of prison? He still had joy. Thank God, joy. The joy of the Lord is independent of circumstances. But his program didn't work, he would let us know. In other words, when you look at verses 8 and 9, chapter 3, verses 8 and 9, he says, "Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ." Then he said, "And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness." You see, his plan didn't work. He had to count it but dung. He looked back on his past life as he lived a rigid Jewish life, but yet without God. He had to flush it down the drain, so to speak. He had to count it as refuse. In other words, it had no value. When Paul got saved, He realized it's the righteousness of Christ that he needed. He could not depend on himself. He had nothing to offer. In other words, everything that he did in the past, he had to simply count them as dung because of the righteousness of Christ that he needed the most. Collector thoughts. Flush it down the drain. I can make this application today. There's a lot of people that have religion. They need to lose their religion. They need to get rid of it. B.A. Carroll, the preacher, said, when I got saved, I lost my religion. And many people would be better off if they'd lose it. When a religion is based upon a system of works, when a religion bypasses the cross, when a religion insists on doing and doing and doing instead of realizing that in Christ it's been done, it needs to be flushed. It's no good. It's not worth a plugged nickel. We need to collect our thoughts. We need what God has to offer. Verse number 9, and be found in him not having mine own righteousness. What God has to offer. In him. I love that. Not having mine own righteousness. In other words, you can't trust what we have. But when you have the righteousness of Christ that's been applied to our account by salvation, thank God you have the best. Righteousness of Christ. Then number 3, spiritual workout program, I would say this, consistent exercise. Verses 10 and 11, consistent exercise. Verse 10, that I may know him. Interesting verse. Oh yes, he already knew him in salvation. He already knew him in forgiveness of sins. But he's looking beyond that. He's looking into it deeper. He's seeing more than simply knowing Christ in salvation. He's looking now about a developed knowledge of Christ. He's looking at progression in what he learns about the Lord. He wants to know him more than simply to know that he's Savior. He wants to realize he's sovereign. He's everything. He's not just Savior. He's Lord. He's sovereign. Exercise that I might know him. Verse 11. If by any means I might attain to the resurrection of the dead. And we'll come back to that in just a moment. Consistent exercise. When it comes to the matter of exercise, go back to my original illustration. You need to stay with it. You need to stay with it. You don't quit. In other words, once you start running, you stay with it. You keep running. You keep increasing the distance after a period of time. When it comes to going to the gym and let's say working out, if you're lifting weights, you continue to build yourself up and build yourself up to where you can bench more weight. See, we're talking about consistent exercise. Now, I bring this over to the spiritual front again. Many get saved. And then they sit around twiddling their thumbs, it seems. Many people, it's not a question of whether they're saved, but they sure aren't committed. And they sure aren't dedicated. And they sure aren't consistent like they should be. I'm going to tell you, when the times get tough, we need more than something on the surface. We need to be able to reach down deep in the well of God's grace. I'm telling you, my friend, when the bottom drops out, you need more than a flimsy feeling, an emotional feeling at that point of time. You need to know that you've anchored your soul in a haven of rest. You need to realize at that point of time that the taproots of God's grace go down deep. And on Christ, the solid rock, you stand. Consistent exercise. Peter says, basically, don't quit growing. 2 Peter 3:18, grow in grace. I think that would be a wonderful and a noble New Year's commitment to say, I want to grow in grace in 2017. I want to pull in some loose ends. I want to be faithful in my church. I want to get more into the Word of God. I want to spend more time in prayer. I want to be counted on more. I want to be consistent in day, in season, out of season. I want to be there. And I want people to be able to depend on me. Because I want my Christian life to spiral upward in 2017. Don't quit growing. Make it a goal to do some growing in 2017. Number two, don't quit learning. Chapter 3, verse 10 of Philippians. That I may know Him. Don't quit learning. God help us. If we reach a place in our life to where we're satisfied with what we know, or we're satisfied with what we've learned, God help us. We should never be satisfied with ourselves. I'll tell you one thing, I'm satisfied with the Lord, but I'm not satisfied with myself. I'm ashamed sometimes when I think of no more than what I do know. And that may sound strange to some of you, but basically that's not a half bad attitude for any of us to have. We ought to be ashamed if we're not growing, if we're not learning more. Paul said that I might know Him. Dr. J. Vernon McGee said, he said, the problem with some people, though, is they've quit learning, they've quit growing, they're proud of where they are, they're proud of where they've come, and all they do is sit around polishing their halo. And we don't have time, nor are we qualified, to sit around polishing our halo. We have got a lot of learning to do. We've got a lot of growing to do. And the Lord help us. If we're you say, preacher, I've been saved 20 years. I'm glad to hear that. I'm glad to hear that. But let me ask you a question. Do you have 20 years of growth? I've known people been saved 20 years that hadn't grown any more than a person saved a year. How's your growth rate? This year ought to be a year whereby we examine where we are, that I might know Him. I'm amazed that the one that wrote that verse under inspiration was Paul. My goodness, penned 13 epistles under inspiration. My goodness, went out and established churches. My goodness, went out and preached everywhere. The chief of the apostles. And yet he said that I might know Him. My friend, if this man of this caliber said he hadn't arrived, I don't think any of us have. Chapter 3, verse 11. Notice the verse. I'd like to point something out. Chapter 3, verse number 11. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Let's look at that a little bit. The word if. That's not a question on Paul's part of whether or whether not he'll be raptured. He'll be glorified. Not a question. That's not what it's saying. Look at the verse again. If by any means I might attain to the resurrection of the dead. It is not a question of whether or whether not he's going up in the rapture. But what it is a question is whether he'll go up with joy. That's how that pans out. God's people, people that are saved, if the Lord would come today, we'll go up. And by the way, you don't have to, a person does not have to be, let me put it like this. A first grader in grace will go up just as surely as a 12th grader in grace, if you're in grace. That's not the issue. But what Paul was thinking about was when the Lord comes, when the rapture takes place, he wants to be able to stand in God's presence with joy, knowing that he's fought a good fight, knowing that he's finished the course, knowing that he's kept the faith. He wants to stand in God's presence with joy in his soul, knowing that he's lived for the Lord the way that he should. You know, you hear people talking about, boy, I wish the Lord would come back. And, you know, I think all of us wish that are saved, don't we? Even so, come Lord Jesus. It'd be a wonderful thing for me if before I get to the invitation today, God would give the invitation. I'd be happy with that. And a lot of times, we go through the problems and the struggles in this life, and we go through the mess down here, and we're thinking, Lord, come and get me out of this mess. But I think there's something else to be said about that. And I believe that's what this verse is talking about. If by any means I may attain to the resurrection. I believe what Paul is basically saying is not simply, Lord, get me out of this mess. But Lord, I'm looking forward to being in your presence. It's not the coming of Christ to me is more than simply getting out of the mess. But the coming of Christ means being in the presence of God. And growth in grace enables us to look at the coming of Christ in that way more. Not just simply getting out of the mess, but thinking of seeing Him face to face. Then I've got to hurry. Spiritual workout program, we need to commit to winning. Commit to winning. Verse 8, chapter 3. Count all things, well, look at the last part there, that I may win Christ. That I may win Christ. Look at verses 13, 14 very quickly. Brethren, I count not myself to apprehend, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth into those things which are before. Note verse 14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Commit to winning. I could say today to all of us, commit to getting in shape. But to commit to winning. He talks about the high calling. The high calling. We're not to be ashamed when the Lord comes back. We should live our lives in such a way that if Christ would come today, we would not be ashamed in His presence. What did John say? What about this verse? 1 John 2:28. Now, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. Not be ashamed before Him at His coming. You say, preacher, that doesn't make sense. His coming will mean our leaving this earth if the rapture takes place. Why in the world would John use the word ashamed? Well, I think he uses it for a good reason. I look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and the Bible does address the subject of the judgment seat of Christ. The Bible talks about suffering loss. We can cut it any way we want to. But when God saved our souls, we forfeited all personal rights. We became property of His. We're not our own. We're bought with a price. The Christian life is a serious thing. Not to be taken lightly. Not to be taken lightly. We ought to live our lives in such a way that God is pleased in the way we live. And then we ought to covet those precious words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You see, it doesn't mean a whole lot down here because we're inundated with things, with people, places, and things. The body, this flesh, holds us back. But it's going to not only be worth it all when we see Jesus, but it's going to be worth it all when we stand at the judgment seat of Christ and our works pass before His scrutiny. And if they merit the gold, silver, precious stone, in contrast to wood, hay, stubble, it may not mean a whole lot to us here, but it will mean everything there. And I simply believe this. When I think of rewards, and I've said this before as we've talked, when I think of rewards, I'm not talking about a big old crown to strut around Glory Boulevard wearing on our heads. I think this. I think crowns represent capacities of glorifying and honoring the Lord Jesus throughout eternity. After all, the book of Revelation, where do they put the crowns anyway? At his feet, right? It will be a capacity to glorify him. It's going to mean everything then when a child of God has fought the fight, has kept the faith, has served the Lord faithfully, and to go home to glory, it'll mean everything then. Now, you go brand me as a heretic when I make the next statement, but I'll prove my point by the verse. In 2017, be perfect. Have you gone off deep end, preacher? Well, would you look with me at verse 15? Verse 15, be perfect. Verse 15, let us therefore as many as be perfect. Be perfect. I'm laughing because I've already entered into your all's thinking a little bit. Be perfect. You know how I think that verse could translate out? In other words, perfection deals with maturity, development, maturity. I believe that Paul is simply saying, be where you should be spiritually. At this point of time in your life, if you've been saved 10 years, be a 10-year spiritual person. Be mature. Be developed. We have a son. And by the way, here's a point well taken. There's a lot of people in churches these days that are still on pablum. They're not mature. And that proves out by the fact of how we act and react to issues. Some people, if they're honest about where they are spiritually, they probably need to be in the kindergarten department, spiritually speaking. We have a son who's, what is Carrie 40 now? 41 years old. If my son walks up to me one day when I see him and he says, Dad, Dad, how are you today? Dad, Dad. I'm going to be thinking, that boy's got some serious problems. There's a lot of people today that's been saved for years that are still saying dada or mama. No, we need to be perfect. We need to be developed to where our age in Christ. You know, in the military we called it time and grade. You know, time and grade. We ought to be where we should be spiritually based upon our time and grade. If I can use that. Now, I'm saying, in our aspirations and goals for 2017, let's commit to being a winner, that I may win Christ, that I go a little bit further with where I have been this past year. Be a winner. Losers are a dime a dozen. This society of ours is filled with losers. People pushing drugs in their arms, people drinking alcohol, people that won't work. And by the way, you find a lot of losers in Hollywood, don't you? People more concerned in fame and fortune and character. They do anything they want to make money, and they'll justify it the best way they can. Losers are a dime a dozen. You can take an old boy out of the country, maybe has a first grade education, but been saved by the grace of God, that person, that boy, is far more a winner than someone in Hollywood making $10,000 or $10 million a year. Be a winner. Winners think of eternity. Winners think of the judgment seat of Christ. Winners invest themselves in something that outlives this life. Winners have had their eyes on eternity. Winners have a motto song. I want to scale the utmost height and catch a gleam of glory bright. But still I'll pray till heaven I've found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. That ought to be a good motto for this year. A winning Christian is a saint who's turned into an investigator too. You say, what do you mean investigator? Verse number 12. If that I may apprehend that for which I've been apprehended. A winner turns into an investigator. I want to know why God apprehended me. I want to know what His purpose is for my life. I want to know why He saved me. I want to know something. I want to learn something. I want to apprehend why He apprehended me. A winner is a Christian who's turned into an investigator. I want to know why God laid His claws of grace on me and saved me. Surely He's got a will for my life and a purpose for my life, and I won't be right in the center of it. And a winner is a sinner who comes to the cross. A winner is a Christian who's never satisfied with themselves, but stays on a spiritual workout program all of their Christian life. Let's bow our heads in prayer.